This is Erin Ashley Simon, and you're listening to On the Board Sports Podcast.
You can put it on the board. Yes.
And welcome back to another edition of the On the Board Sports Podcast. I'm the host, Sean Thomas, aka Shoney on the mic. Happy Tuesday to all. Happy Taco Tuesday to all. As always, joined by my main man, my co-host, William Cherucci, who is east of me. Will, happy Tuesday, pal. How are you?
Doing good, Sean, who is west of me right now, which is awesome with a capital A. But, you know, every day feels like a Sunday at this point in time during this pandemic. But we got to make the best out of a bad situation. But, Sean, we have a very special guest with us, because joining us from the West Coast, from Colorado, is the one and only Jenny Kavanagh from AT&T Rocky Mountains for Rockies Baseball. Jenny, we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for sacrificing some time with us. How are you?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'm great because there is a 60-game MLB schedule out, and that means we are going to play ball, or at least in theory, that's what we're going to do.
That's true. Jenny, before we talk about the team on the field, tell me and Will, first of all, how are you and your family doing this whole pandemic and corona stuff? How have you made it out through this whole thing?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, we're doing great. I honestly, I'm a very optimistic person, so I've tried to really, take this time as a family check. I mean, it's time I'd never get during a baseball season. We have a young son who's 2.5, and he's crazy, and he's running around, he's growing every day. And so I'm getting to catch milestones that I typically miss during the season, or that I get to see through video or picture. So I'm really trying to soak that up. Our friends and family, everyone is great here in Colorado. You know, I'm really proud. I want to brag on our state for a minute, because I'm very proud of the efforts of not only, you know, local and state government officials, but also just the people of Colorado. I think we've done a very good job of trying to all be in this together. When you go around town, even now that we've opened up some restaurants, people are taking this very seriously in terms of physical distancing, wearing masks. And even as we go back to work and start to prepare for that, it's a hot topic. So I'm very proud of our state. It doesn't mean that we don't have a long way to go, just like the rest of this country. And for you guys on the East Coast, you know it more than anyone. You guys have been hit so hard. And I hope in turn that both of you and your families are safe and healthy at this point.
Yes, our families are safe and healthy at this point. We thank you for that, coming all the way out from the West Coast saying that. Jenny, tell us about how you got started up in sports broadcasting and being in the sports media business, and where did the love for all this begin for you?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I definitely grew up in a sports family. A lot of people point to the fact that my dad was a high school baseball coach here in Colorado. And I really had no choice early on. You know, it was go to the field with dad. You can grab a glove and participate in camps in the summer, or you can just sit there, pre-iPhone days, of course, and draw in the sand and play hopscotch. So I chose the activity part. I picked up the glove. I got out there pretty early on. But I also just enjoyed talking baseball with my dad. You know, when he came home at night, we would talk about the game and why he did certain things. And maybe that's kind of where my early stirring and love came to be a sports broadcaster. I had a natural curiosity to the decisions that went into competition on the field. In terms of playing sports, you know, I said I picked the glove up early. I definitely played softball, but I played basketball for a long time, and then I played lacrosse in college at Colorado State. And I had a lot of opportunities there to get involved with sports media on the student side, and I also worked for the local radio station that had the rights to the Colorado State Rams. So I did some football and basketball broadcasts, got into a company called CTV, College Sports Television, or CSTV, excuse me, and they're what basically now became CBS Sports. So I started off right away in a national job. I thought I made it. Here we go. And all of a sudden, like four games into the season, they realized they were way over budget, cut half the jobs. I got laid off at like 22, had to figure out kind of a new path. And that's when I ended up in local TV. I went to Flint, Michigan, and really got to kind of just get my reps in. You know, I think that's the biggest thing in this business is getting that opportunity to get on camera every day, or get on the airwaves every day, or if you're in print, to write every day. Just, you know, practice your storytelling, practice your personality on air. And that was a really cool experience for me. At the same time, I had an opportunity back in Los Angeles to coach lacrosse at UCLA, and I took it. I just felt like I wanted that the lacrosse bug wasn't out of me yet. So I went back to coaching, but did some TV stuff on the side. And in 2007, I had the opportunity to interview for a job in San Diego with their regional sports network that did the Padres, and I got that job. And the second I was on the field, it all came together. I mean, my whole life growing up, and then obviously now getting to be involved in Major League Baseball as a broadcaster, it just felt like that was the right place for me to be. I enjoy covering all sports and I enjoy all sports, but I definitely felt like I had found my home. So I was with the Padres for 5 years, and then a job opened up in Colorado in 2012, and it gave me my chance to come home. And so I've been here since then. This is my 14th year now broadcasting Major League Baseball. I've done everything from sideline reporting, hosting pre-post game show, and then in 2018, I got the chance to call a Major League Baseball game. And I've done play-by-play for about 10 Major League Baseball games and some play-by-play for college basketball. So that's kind of where I'm at now.
Jenny, well said there, well said. What I wanted to ask you is, I am a huge college sports fan. So a little quick question here. How big is the Colorado State? How big is that when it comes to football, to baseball, to basketball? Because I'm a huge college fan, and that's a game that you don't really hear talked about over here on where me and Witt are at. So how big is that when those two teams meet every single year?
Yeah, it's a huge rivalry. And again, on the East Coast, I'm sure you're not as familiar with the Mountain West Conference that the Colorado State Rams play in, but they have another huge rivalry. It's called the Border War with the Wyoming Cowboys, and it's one of the oldest rivalries in college sports. And it's funny because really we say as the Rams, if you beat the Cowboys and you beat the Buffs, it's a winning season. No, we want our team to do great. We want them to actually have a winning season and to go to a bowl game and all that great stuff. But I'm telling you, there's no love lost between Rams fans and Buffs fans here. And there's a few floaters that stick around that say like, oh, I root for the Buffs when they're not playing the Rams. No. Those people are not invited. You cannot do that. It's a very big rivalry, and it's a lot of fun. And when you're in college, you know, just because we are a state school, and then obviously CU, Boulder, just about 20 miles from Denver, a lot of kids from your high school end up at one of those two schools. So there's that extra rivalry with your friends going into game week, and it is. It's a ton of fun. It's been played the last several years at Mile High, where the Broncos play. And this year it's moving back to the home and home rivalry. So it's going to be on campus at Colorado State this year at their new stadium. And I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, we don't know if there'll be fans allowed to go or any sort of tailgating, right, but it'll be cool that it's back on campus.
That's awesome, Jenny. That's definitely awesome. Jenny, I gotta talk to you for a second about women in broadcasting. You just mentioned the fact that you broadcasted 10 games and you've been a part of the Rockies family now for nearly, what, 7-8 years just about? And you look at this whole thing right now, it's absolutely awesome to see as Islander fans, as Sean and I, we're Islanders fans, we get to see the great Shannon Hogan and AJ Molesko doing games. I'm sure you know about them. Talk to us what it's like, you know, just being a woman, just in broadcasting alone, trying to, you know, just go out there and do what you do.
Yeah, you know, I love Shannon, by the way. I'm glad you brought her up. I actually met Shannon when she was with the Detroit Tigers. So we go back a long way there. And I know she has a great hockey mind. And it's really cool that you guys get to watch her all the time on TV. You know, I'll even just bring up Susan Waldman's name because she's on the airwaves there. And one of the OGs in our world of women that really have broken some barriers in sports broadcasting. Also, Meredith Marakovich. I mean, she's awesome at what she does. And I guarantee you that Meredith will call a Major League Baseball game before all is said and done. She's very talented. But Susan, you know, was really great to me. She reached out early on, as did a lot of pioneers in our sports landscape, to just, you know, congratulate me and to kind of push me and to keep me moving forward. So I do get the chance to chat with Susan on text. We obviously don't see them interleague style that often in person, but she has been fantastic. And I just think, you know, there are so many women that came before. When I start to look back towards the late 60s, early 70s, and women that even had a chance to be on television or to be writers, they weren't allowed in the locker rooms. Like, they didn't have equal access to cover games as men did. And so there were barriers that had to be broken a long time ago to even get where we are today. And just to be involved in that conversation, to continue opening a door for the next generation, that's what's become so important to me out of all of this. I mean, I never in my lifetime dreamed of calling play-by-play because I never saw it. And I think representation is a big deal. It's a big deal when it comes to gender. It's a big deal when it comes to ethnicity. And if we're not seeing ourselves represented in someone else, it's really hard to dream a path that that person has been on. So, you know, I wanted to be a sideline reporter for football because I saw Melissa Stark growing up on Monday Night Football. That was my kind of first representation. Now I hope that girls, women that dream of doing this, they can dream about doing play-by-play. They can dream about producing Major League Baseball, because we have a female that produces Major League Baseball. We have a director that does Major League Baseball that's a female. I hope those jobs are just more accessible and more in reach. And we can continue to open that door to more equal opportunities, for sure.
Well said, Jenny. Well said. Jenny, to go from off the field to on the field, the schedule came out yesterday, 60 games. Rockies' first six games are on the road, and then they come home after that. When you saw the schedule for the first time, what did you think, and what are your thoughts on the 60 games?
Yeah, you know, honestly, just seeing a schedule, you're like, okay, like, this is exciting. And then you start to dive a little deeper, like you're talking about, you know, this team starts on the road, which isn't out of the norm for the Rockies anyways. Typically, they always start on the road based on weather in, you know, late March, early April here, and obviously not having a roof at Coors Field. So that's nothing unique, I think, to the team, but they end the season as well on the road. And then we know it's going to be a sprint for all 30 teams. You're talking about going 60 games in 66 days. But the way the Rockies' off days are really situated between this, you know, 2 months and some change, they have two off days in the very first week of the season. Then they have three off days in September. So that leaves a stretch where they're playing 33 games in 34 days. And it's a 13 game stretch, a day off, and then a big 20 game stretch. More than any other team, that is a challenge for Colorado, because everyone wants to talk about altitude and the advantages of playing here. The huge disadvantage on the flip side is coming back to altitude. So for the Rockies, every time they leave and go to sea level, there sometimes is an adjustment period, but you feel it so hard when you're coming back on a plane. And for the average person, I mean, just for me, I mean, I like to work out here and there, but I'm not a professional athlete. I'm exhausted that day when we come home from a trip. It takes my body about 24 hours to just kind of recoup. So for a professional athlete, again, they're trained to do this, you know, they get it. But when you're talking about that big stretch, that big chunk without much rest, it's really going to take some extra managing of your arms and of just a position players and bodies. Because again, now you're talking about guys like Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story, Charlie Blackmon, who want to play every day. And especially in 60 games, their minds are saying, like, I'm playing nine innings every day, full bore, but they need them. They need them to perform at the highest, you know, possible level they can. They might need a day of rest, and that's going to be really hard, I think, for guys who are used to playing in a regular season 145 plus games.
You just mentioned Nolan Arenado. Talk to us about what's been going on with him and the situation that him and the Rockies are going through right now, trying to get this big contract worked out. But you know, we all hear it from everywhere else, from the national media, everything like that. Talk to us about Nolan Arenado and what he means for the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, Nolan Arenado, I mean, not just for the Colorado Rockies, but I think as you guys are staying on the East Coast, as other people recognize on the West Coast that get to see him in person often in terms of big teams like the Dodgers and the Giants, he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. He's a superstar. I mean, this is a Hall of Famer in the making. And to watch him do his craft every day offensively, I mean, you can just look it up. The numbers are ridiculous since 2015 if you wanted to, you know, compile the last couple of years. But you watch with your eyes live what that guy does on defense every single day. I mean, he still makes like, what? Did you just see Nolan make that play kind of plays? And we get to watch it every day. So I really try and pinch myself that I get to cover an athlete like that because he is a great superstar and he is phenomenal at his craft. At the same time, like, Nolan loves baseball. He is a nerd. Like, he is, I bet you this quarantine time has drove him bananas and probably his wife and his family around him because he has a bat in his hand 24/7. I mean, he's constantly taking dry hacks. He's constantly thinking about the game. And that's obviously what's made him so good. You know, you talk about the rift that happened with the Colorado front office. It's something that honestly, I mean, I don't want to say it's dissipated, but I really hope that him and Jeff Breidich got the chance, the general manager, to talk during this downtime because it was out there. As you mentioned, it was in the national media and it was something that was definitely weighing over this team at spring training. But I think now with the way that the pandemic's gone, the shutdown's gone, he just wants to play baseball. Like, he just wanted to get back on the field. And so I think any, you know, outlying things that were on his mind are definitely way in the back burner, and he's just focused on getting the 60 game stretch done and seeing if he can't help the Colorado Rockies get to the postseason this year.
Jenny, Will is a huge Yankees fan. The reason why I mention that is because DJ LeMahieu, who played really well while he was over there, he comes to the Bronx and now he's an MVP candidate. Did you see that coming from him, number one? And number two, why don't you think the Rockies brought him back?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I mean, I think that DJ was a fantastic Rocky. I'll never forget when the Rockies lost to the Brewers when they got swept in the NLDS 2 years ago in 2018. I was in the clubhouse, you know, I had just done this crazy huge stretch with the Rockies in the postseason, and I was in the clubhouse, and DJ is a very quiet person, but without saying a lot, DJ can say a lot, if that makes sense. And so I just stood there and I looked at him and I just said, DJ, like, whatever happens, thank you. I'm going to miss you. And he's like, yeah, Jen, thanks. I mean, he is one of those players that, I gravitated towards as a human being because he worked so hard. I talk about Nolan and his craft and working. Like, DJ's a grinder. He's a Midwest grinder. I mean, he grew up in Michigan and he is just an athlete and he is a competitor. And I think you see that as quiet as his personality is off the field, like between the lines. I mean, he is like laser focused all the time. And we always joke because he was like Mr. Oppo Taco, right? Like, this guy just always like opposite field base hit. Like, the second you need him to do anything, he's going to do it for the team. And I think where I loved watching DJ's growth is when he came over from the Cubs, there was a moment where I think a lot of people had written him off, had written his trajectory off in the game. And he was just like, no, like, he loves that. He loves being the underdog. Like, I'm going to prove you wrong. And I bring that up because I watched that again when he went to the Yankees. Perhaps when the Rockies didn't re-sign him, that switch turned on again. Like, I'm going to prove you wrong. And I'm going to the Pinstripes on the East Coast, and I'm going to make a name for myself out there. And he sure did. And I know you guys loved him out of the gate. And he's also been able to show off his versatility, which I think is pretty cool. He's a great second baseman. That's, you know, where he landed in the Rockies system. But you guys have seen him at first, at third, how he can move up and down the lineup and still make a difference. That's hard to do this day and age when you're talking about guys who are very mixed into routines and how they play every single day. So I think the Yankees, by the way, have become just Rockies East. All of a sudden, you have Adam Ottavino, you have Tommy Canley, like, your whole bullpen. Right. Any other arms you want, I'll just scout for you and let you guys know who's coming down the pipeline.
Hey, speaking of the arms that are coming out of the Colorado Rockies system right now, you look at their pitching staff, and yes, they ranked 29th in the league in earned run average last year, but when Buck Black got over and made his name with the Rockies, he's known as a pitching coach. The last couple of years, they ranked in the middle of the tier, 17th and 20th in the league, respectively, in earned run average. And you also look at before he got there, they were ranked 27th. You've seen this pitching staff, and you get to see what this pitching staff does. You know, talk to us about guys like John Gray and Germán Márquez. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about them and talk to us about the everything like that.
I think that's what's exciting. I mean, I think if you look at the history, the young history of this organization, you know, that just started in 1993, if you want to be a free agent that's a starting pitcher and come to the Rockies, you have to have, like, no ego amigo to come to Colorado and want to sacrifice yourself at altitude. It's just part of the game here. At the same time, the Rockies have done a fantastic job, a little pre-Bud Black, and then obviously adding Bud Black into the mix, of homegrown talent in the system. You bring up John Gray. He has definitely had his share of ups and downs, but the ups are fantastic. And when you watch the future and just kind of making little tweaks here and there and what John Gray could be, it's definitely a top of the line starter. You add in the mix Germán Márquez, very young. He's not homegrown in the sense that he came over from Florida, but they developed him here. I mean, this is where he became a great pitcher, and he's a flamethrower, and that's hard to do here. I mean, you talk about wanting to be a starting pitcher in the Rockies organization, like, you really have to be able to induce ground balls. I mean, that's just kind of the thing. If you're going to let the ball, if you're a fly ball pitcher, your chances of that ERA flying through the roof when you're in Coors Field is going to go up a little bit. But also, they've been able to kind of get guys to realize it's a mental thing. It's a mental grind to be a pitcher here, and they take a lot of pride in it. Steve Foster, the pitching coach for the Rockies right now, has done a great job of setting in that mental mindset of how you have to be a pitcher here. So Germán Márquez adds to that mix, again, as just kind of a velocity guy, high velocity guy. And Kyle Freeland, you want to talk about a homegrown talent. This is a kid who not only is homegrown in the Rocky system, he's homegrown. He went to Thomas Jefferson High School in Denver, Colorado. And I think it's so special, being a kid from Denver myself, having a family history here. It's so special to watch Kyle put on the uniform every day, be able to run out there and be the hometown kid. He had a very bad year last year. He'd be the first to tell you that. But when you look back, this is a competitor. This is a guy who wants the ball every fifth day. He wants to make a difference for this team. And again, I think he made some mechanical adjustments this offseason that are going to bode well for him here in 2020.
Well said, Jenny. Well said. Jenny, we know you got to run. Me and Will want to thank you for taking some time. Before you go, tell the people how they could follow you and everything you do on social media.
Awesome. It's easy. At Jenny Kavnar, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram. I just got on Cameo too. So, you know. If you want a little Cameo shout out during quarantine, you let me know.
Definitely, Jenny. We appreciate it. Absolutely. Jenny, thank you for taking some time. Continue to be safe and stay safe. And thank you again. Thank you so much.
Hey, back at you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Always welcome back on. Thank you.
Cool. Well, that was the one and only Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet in the Rocky Mountains. Well, awesome job by her, Will, and getting to know over there on that side, the West Coast. And, you know, well, they're one of those teams in the National League West. Everybody's going to talk about the Dodgers, blah, 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 the Giants, blah, blah, blah. Rockies, as you know, have a lot of talented guys on that team.
Yeah, they do. And starts off with Nolan Arenado, and you look at the pipeline of players right now that they have offensively with the bats. They have Trevor Story. He's been consistent since Troy Tulowitzki left. You have Charlie Blackman going out there, being one of the league's best hitters, obviously. And you know what? We forgot about this guy. We should have asked Jenny about this man. Daniel Murphy, your boy, Sean.
Oh, yeah. My boy.
2015 postseason run, a lifelong Met prior to him signing that big deal with the Washington Nationals. And, you know, hey, you got to look at it and you just got to say to yourself, the Rockies are known for their lineup and for their bats. Their pitching staff with Bud Black there, before last year, they've been going out there and they've been absolutely – they've been in the middle of the pack. They haven't been killing it, but they've been in the middle of the pack and they've been really getting better year in and year out with the exception of last year. So, you know, the Rockies have everything going for them in this 60-game season because anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, if Márquez, Freeland, John Gray, and everybody else, if those guys get off to a hot start, the Rockies, like you said, with the bats that they have, you know what I'm saying? Like, they could score. Scoring has never been an issue for them. The issue is that they lose games 8-6 or 9-7. Like, well, I swear, last year, every time I would watch the final scores, they would either win 9-7 or lose 9-7. There was no in between. Like, there were very few 2-1 games or 3-1 games, so on and so forth. So just shout out to her for coming on. Will, any final thoughts, Bill?
No final thoughts. Just shout out to Jenny Kavnar again for coming on. We really appreciate her sacrificing some time. She's a busy woman, obviously, with being a mom. And beforehand, she was taking care of, she was doing a press conference with the Rockies, you know. So we thank her for that. And hey, you know, what more can you want? The girl's a hustler. She's working hard and she's making a name for herself here in the sports business. So really great stuff.
And it goes to show you, everybody knows everybody. She's all the way out the West, but she's met and she knows Susan Wardman.
Yeah.
She's met and she knows Shannon Hogan, who obviously me and you will know very, very well. So, no final thoughts for me. Just want to give her a shout out again for coming on the show. And we're looking forward to baseball season. Well, we got a baseball preview coming soon. We don't know when and what time and what date, but it's definitely coming soon.
It's going to happen very soon.
Very soon.
Exactly. Very soon.
Right. So for my partner, my co-host, William Trucci, a.k.a. Will C, and for our featured guest for the show, Jenny Kavnar of AT&T Sportsnet in Colorado, I'm your host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Sean on the mic for On The Board Sports. Continue to be safe. Continue to stay safe. We love you all. Peace out.